Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
Hi, I'm Amanda Edelman, COO of the Gen Z Lab and Associate Director at Edelman. Joining me today is Katie Welch, the Chief Marketing Officer at Rare Beauty. Katie is a brand storyteller with more than 20 years of marketing experience, mostly at beauty brands. Now, she leads marketing at the celebrity-founded and TikTok viral makeup company, which is focused on building a safe, welcoming space within the beauty industry. Katie, welcome to The Trustmakers.
Hi, Amanda. Thank you so much.
Katie, so as your intro indicates, you have an incredibly storied career across a variety of really, really amazing brands. So I'd just love to learn a little bit more about it. Can you tell us some of the highlights, some of the learnings you've had, and really just tell us your story and what brought you to Rare Beauty?
Sure. Most of my career has been in PR. I loved it so much because I learned the tenets of storytelling. I learned how to use a brand message to move a brand and a business forward. And I think because I've sort of had this non-traditional role up to the C-suite, what I think is interesting is that I think today's marketing landscape and 2023, it is all about messaging and storytelling and sort of living that authentic story, which we'll probably say that word so many times this whole podcast, but it's true. I think because of that, that PR background, that communications background and understanding sort of where PR sits within the marketing mix, that set me up for success in the world that we live today, because it is so necessary to have those skills.
I love that. So how did you get involved with Rare Beauty? For me, let me just tell you, I am the biggest fan. Came in the intro that it was viral on TikTok. I'm seeing it everywhere. All of my friends are obsessed with it. So how did you get introduced to the brand?
First, thank you. That means so much. Mm-hmm. It's been a really exciting ride so far. So I joined the team in 2019 and Selena had started working on the brand. She had made her first few hires and we ended up launching in September of 2020. So it was still about a year to get the brand ready for launch. I met the CEO and he said, "Oh, Katie Welch, I've been wanting to talk to you. I have a project I'm working on." And I was happily settled at another beauty brand. But then once I eventually met with him and found out about it and found out, gosh, what an incredible opportunity to start something from scratch. And let alone with Selena Gomez, knowing that she is an individual who is so heartfelt and kind and multidimensional, and that thinking about purpose, building a brand with purpose and purpose at its core, she is a human like that. She is a person who wants to make an impact, who wants to make a difference. So to think of, oh gosh, how can I get, I would have the opportunity to partner with this person to develop a brand, develop the messaging and the stuff that I love to do, just felt like a no-brainer. So it felt like a once in a lifetime opportunity, which it has proven to be.
As I mentioned in my title, I do a lot of things around Gen Z. And one of the most important areas is the authenticity. It's going to be the most overused jargon that we have today, but really is that authenticity of, you know, not just saying your values, but living your values. Was that something that you were aware of when you sort of created the mission and values? It's like, you know what, not only is this true to who we are, but we recognize how important it is to appeal to this really significant demographic. Or did that awareness come later?
I assume it came later. I've always paid attention to generations who are driving culture that happens to be Gen Z. So I think understanding them through that lens, I guess, and staying close to them as much as I can, we collectively as the team know in our gut that you do have to sort of practice with what you preach. Now, we don't want to set it up that sets us up to fail eventually. Like we're all human and you never know what could happen. But that's just the right way to do it. And then in getting to know Selena, that is who she is. She lives her life by her values. She is this super authentic, real, disarmingly so kind. So it's sort of like as you get to know her, and then when you build a brand, you want to do things through the lens of the founder and getting to know the founder and saying, okay, this is her voice. And that's who she is. So that's how the brand was built, through her.
I just want to continue on this theme of living your values because it's so true. And for Gen Z, I'll just say two stats that we often highlight. One is that they're so aware of how you treat your employers and your community. And that actually really affects their purchase decisions. 8 in 10 say how you treat your employees is important when considering purchase decisions. 7 in 10 say how you treat your community around you is important on purchase decisions. And the second stat that I'll give is that they have this forensic ability to get to the truth. 70% of them will always fact check what you say and unfollow you on social platforms if they find out that what you say is untrue. So I think what you've done is just be so genius about understanding this generation, you know, how much they care about the brands they buy, taking care of the communities and employees around them, as well as aligning values and words. And I would just love to understand, you know, how you do that. I know, for example, we've talked in the past about Rare Impact Fund and sort of donating 1% of your profits to said fund. Would just love to sort of understand the initiatives that you've taken as a company to really live those values from the inside out.
Yeah. 1% of sales, the whole company, we all just pay attention. We're all on TikTok. We're all on Instagram. We're all using, at least the marketing team is all using the same sort of social channels. So it's like this constant stream of insight. To your earlier question about sort of how did you know about Gen Z, when we were building this brand, I didn't know a lot of Gen Z. I don't have teenage kids. I do have a TikTok account. And I used that as an opportunity. I wanted to figure out a way to pay it forward as I was hiring for the team. And I realized I didn't know a lot of sort of entry level or Gen Z people to help join the team. And I wanted a team of diversity of thought and voices. And I thought, how did I get into the beauty industry? And how did I learn? And there was one person that I met when I was 19 years old who happened to be in the beauty industry. She was an executive at Estee Lauder. And I said, that's it. I want to do that. And so as I was trying to figure out TikTok, I thought, what could I do? God knows I'm not going to do a dance. And that was all the renegade dances.
And like, I would love to see that.
Not. Absolutely not. No one wants to see it. Not even my mother wants to see it. But I did think, God, how cool if I could do career advice or something. So anyway, long story long, what I've gotten, I've built my own community, but then I've gotten to know people beyond those whom I work. And I've sort of got to hear from them and learn and gleaned a lot from the questions that they ask me. And that I think helps inform a lot of my understanding, my personal understanding of the generation. Certainly doesn't have all the answers, but I also can ask them questions. So anyway, that's what, to answer your earlier question, that's sort of how I personally started to learn it. I just got on TikTok in 2019 and dove right in, and I love it. For Rare Beauty, how do we live our brand values? We had an advantage as a brand because we were able to start from scratch and really build the company as best as we could, whether it's employee benefits, the team around us, putting processes in place as best we can. We're still a startup. We're still, nobody's perfect. No company is perfect. No job is perfect. Mm-hmm. All of our employees are trained in mental health first aid. Then we partnered with the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, to pledge to become a stigma-free brand. And as we were building this and coming up with all these things, we realized this is really cool, but I don't see a lot of other beauty brands doing this. So for instance, we then worked with NAMI to share a lot of the information with some of our beauty brand friends, just people within the industry that we've worked with forever that we know. And I think we got like 16 or 17 other beauty brands to sign up to be a stigma-free brands as well and sort of sign this beauty industry pledge. So it's, and it wasn't about getting headlines. This was about just, we're doing all this work. We should share it. Let's share it with other beauty brands. So that's something that we do internally. We have within Rare Impact. So Rare Impact is the part of the company that works to make a difference in beauty and beyond. Of course, we raise awareness to destigmatize mental health by mobilizing our social community. We also develop resources and services that can help impact our community directly, but we're still Rare Beauty. Like we don't do those ourselves. So as part of Rare Impact, this division of the company, we created a mental health council. And those are individuals within academia, within the medical field, within nonprofit, within mental health, certainly, that help guide us on our strategy and steer us in the right direction. And so they will help co-create content so that we can put that content out to our community, which is now across all social channels, over 9 million, and to help start those conversations around positive self-worth and self-acceptance, conversations that may not be happening in school, in their homes, with their friends. And so if they can find it scrolling on Instagram or TikTok, great. And the thing that I think is so exciting for our community and our employees who benefit from following the same social feeds, getting the same information throughout internal communications or internal events. Some of those assets, they get saved just as much as a beauty tutorial.
That I absolutely love. And I feel like this hits on a couple of things. Basically, this idea that sort of your posts around mental health awareness are just as popular on social mm-hmm. channels as mm-hmm. posts about the products themselves. A trend that I've noticed and have been hearing a lot about is that for Gen Z, they're much less product first. Like for ads, the most successful ads and content on social media, it's not like, here's a new bottle of this brand, let me show you it front and center. It's more like, no, let me film a video of me doing my normal routine of me, sort of what I would normally do on social content, but I'm going to pour myself a glass of this drink, whatever it is. But basically integrating products into an overall message or overall content rather than being product first.
But that is exactly what we were talking about the importance of storytelling. Like, yes, there's the importance of the grand storytelling with your big idea to then bring to life your Super Bowl ad or your 360 campaign with your out of home, et cetera. But then also there's storytelling within TikTok or with Instagram or within those native platforms that Gen Z is paying attention to. And they want to hear those stories too. And you watch it and the algorithm rewards storytelling, because obviously the more you watch the TikTok all the way through, it's going to get shown to more people. So storytelling benefits you in the app. Anyway, but if you can tell that authentic, engaging story, whether you're telling a product story, a product point of difference, instead of just saying, look at how great this lipstick is, it lasted all day. But if you tell a story of saying, come with me throughout the day, my day in the life as a CMO, not that I would ever do this to sell a lipstick, because that's, I mean, I guess I could, but I don't think it would be that good. Anyway, but if you do a great story of telling someone how they go through their day, all the stuff they do, and then, oh my gosh, by the way, this lipstick lasted all day. What you're actually doing is proving an 8-hour consumer claim. And that storytelling versus just doing, to your point, a regular old still ad that just lists off features and benefits.
I am really curious about this. Do you feel like being a company that appeals to Gen Z has also made you a company that appeals to Gen Z from a workplace perspective? I'm sure that's a bit chicken and egg of having a lot of Gen Z employees makes you more effective at appealing to Gen Z consumers. But I'm curious how you see those things, as I would imagine that, you know, the values of the company and the way that they're so evident and appealing to Gen Z consumers would also be extraordinarily attractive to Gen Z employees. Would love to hear your experience about how you are interacting with Gen Z in the workplace at Rare Beauty.
I hope it does. I hope it's a great place to work. I can't speak for everyone. I certainly love it. I get feedback that people love it. It's still a job. It's still a lot of work. It's still a startup. I mean, my goodness. I think we're in over 30 markets around the world. This September will be our third birthday. That's a lot. That's a lot of work on the team. And I think even we were doing a recap of 2022, and I was looking at the number of creative assets that the creative team created. It's 18,000. So, yeah.
This is a podcast. People can't see my face right now. I'm shocked. My jaw literally dropped.
I try my best within the marketing team to, like, everyone shut it down. No need to work late at night. I don't really email people late at night. Don't email on the weekends. No, it's up to individuals. If you feel like you need to do your emails on Sunday to, like, get ahead because it makes you feel better for Monday, that's up to you. But we try to create a warm, welcoming environment in the office as much as possible. We are an extremely collaborative team in a way that I have never in my career experienced this level of collaboration, which is great. And at first I was like, okay, everybody's involved in marketing. This is really different. But now I think it's made it a much stronger team. We work really well together. And then what I think the listeners to this podcast will appreciate, I think from my standpoint, from the marketing standpoint, the most important thing is just to ground everyone in the strategy or the right product point of difference, and then sort of then let the collaboration and the brainstorm follow. Because I think great ideas can come from anywhere, but if you're not grounded in one objective strategy, then it could just become a tactic mess.
I think that's so smart. That's something that I've keyed in on as well. It's interesting too, because I think a lot of the shifts in workplace behavior are also indicative of the shift between 100% in person to now hybrid in many workplaces. Yeah. And to your point, as a result, maybe 5 years ago, pre-COVID, when everyone was in person, I think people understood or sort of picked up on strategy by osmosis. To your point, people are less aware of the objective of the strategy. That is my strategy, is to get people on the same page and be like, by the way, the context of this ask that you have ladders up to this broader goal, this broader strategy. People are like, oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, this actually makes so much more sense. Actually, did you think about including this? Because I think that would really help with this strategy. I have found that to be extraordinarily effective, but I really think it's part and parcel of the shift that we have from being 100% in person to now being hybrid. We just have to be more explicit.
We announced that the brand was coming in January of 2020. you think about everything that you need to launch a brand, the asset, everything that would be at Sephora, assets on the gondola, on the website, Sephora's website, wearbeauty.com, everything. My goodness, it's a lot. We launched the full suite. We had one big photo shoot to help land our sort of brand mission and vision, sort of the hero assets, thank goodness. And then COVID hit. And then it was, how do we do everything? All of the shoots, everything canceled. So we had to reimagine, how do you shoot your Facebook ads, your Instagram ads? I mean, Selena duct tape an iPhone to her bathroom mirror. So we really had to shift everything. And what it did was taught us how to think differently about creative, how to be more agile. And I think what was cool is that if we say, you know, don't be perfect, be rare, we're sort of breaking down these standards of perfection within the beauty industry. And then there's Selena doing her makeup for a Facebook ad or an Instagram tutorial or a Sephora.com tutorial in her own bedroom, and her grandfather's walking by and there's not professional lighting. Like, that is as real as it gets. So it sort of worked in our favor, and it sort of thought, okay, this is how we can do stuff moving forward, maybe, or be able to be more flexible. So that worked. It was really an interesting time trying to come up with solutions. However, what I did notice in that those few years that we were home, some of the entry level who have now grown in our company, or people, younger employees who haven't been doing this, who couldn't hit the ground running, there's still a lot of sort of the marketing messaging fundamentals that we need to educate and tell. And I think when you're work from home, to your point, you don't have those opportunities. And I think some people, they can learn by osmosis because they're actively participating in their career and they're paying attention. And they'll say, why did she write that? Why is she asking that? You know, they'll ask questions and really understand, okay, so-and-so is presenting, this is the objective strategy, and they'll think actively about it. But not everyone does that. Not everyone can learn through osmosis. A lot of people need to actually walk through it themselves or do it themselves. And I think now we're taking a step back and I'm realizing, okay, now we're growing so fast and I don't want our brand DNA to be broken down. And I don't want our products to launch inconsistently around the globe, that I have to make sure that we are in lockstep with our not only brand strategy, product strategy, or everything. And that is requiring a little bit of education to Gen Z. They haven't had the experience, and that's to no fault of anyone's. So for instance, we're working on a campaign for later this year, and I want to tap into some of the insights of our company, and I want them to help create it. I don't need to write the whole campaign, but I do want to teach them some guidelines. So we're going to go through what is an objective, what is a strategy, what are tactics, what is sort of channel planning, and just very loosely, it's like a little project. No, I think it's fun. I think marketing strategy can be fun. And so we'll see who's interested. But a lot of people were like, okay, I'll help. I'll do it. And they volunteered. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I want to pivot a little bit and talk more about this generation and mental health. And Obviously, given that's the focus of your brand, and given, you know, how deeply it is in your DNA and how authentically you speak on it, given, you know, Selena Gomez and everything that she's gone through and just how open and vulnerable she's been, beautifully, beautifully so. I just love to sort of understand how you think about the connection between mental health and beauty. Gen Z has become synonymous in many ways with mental health in a great way, where they've destigmatized talking about it. They're much more aware of their mental health, which is really incredible. So I would just love to understand how you're thinking about mental health as a brand, given that it's so baked into your values and platform, but also given that it's a really key area for your target consumer.
I personally didn't know how much of a key area that it would be for Gen Z, because we started talking about this in 2019. And it was really because Selena said, I said, why do you want to create a makeup brand? And she said, it was longer than this, but one of the things that I took away was that she wanted to make a difference in beauty and beyond. And she said, I want to create a space in beauty where people feel welcome, because that was something that she hadn't felt. And then we talked more and more about mental health and her personal mental health journey, and how much she said, I've learned so much in the last few years. And if she had learned some of this when she was younger, you know, what would have been different, or what an asset that would have been. And how knowing that she wanted to make this difference, she wanted to create this safe, welcoming space, and knowing that she has this platform, not only herself, but then if she were to build this brand, that also would be a platform and a way to engage with a community, the way she has done with her fans for so many years, that it could make a super meaningful difference. And when she said that word welcome, that just stuck out to me as something so different. Having worked in beauty for so long and being a beauty junkie, there's so many wonderful words and emotions associated with beauty, empowerment, self-expression, but welcome, just that true feeling of like, you can sit with us, And then knowing her, she evokes that same feeling. I thought, wow, that's really special. We learned more about loneliness and then understanding loneliness. Loneliness is at the start of what could become many things. And as we thought about community and we thought about brands and we thought about what we could actually do to really make a difference, it's connection and it's community and using social channels. And we thought, God, if we could have two people become friends and make a connection, if we could literally be a brand that facilitates connections so that people feel that sense of belonging, so that people feel welcome, that makes a difference. In addition to raising awareness to destigmatize mental health and developing resources and all of that, yes, but that feeling of community to really, truly do it. So one of the things we wanted to do when we first started was, okay, let's do a campaign. Let's do it with our community. Let's get the community together. And I thought, yeah, because you know what? Then maybe we can do that. We can start, we can begin to live our brand values and get to know our community and make those connections. Even we wanted to do it with our 48 Shades of Foundation. And if we can get 48 people to connect with one another, how great. And of course the pandemic happened and that all got postponed. But what we did was that we got to know the community from our fans and followers after announcing the brand. And we started Zoom chats and we would do weekly Zoom chats. And we did them for about the first year. Now we don't do them as frequently because we've evolved to different apps and modalities of communication and events. But anyway, but we really started to get to know people and Selena would pop in some of these Zoom chats. And that's how we started to learn and listen and be informed by Gen Z and sort of what they're doing and what they wanted to hear and what they said. Then we talked to them about things like, what are you watching on Netflix? But also we talked about mental health and like, what do you want to hear from? Like, what can we do? And they said that they don't know trusted resources and they needed trusted resources. And from that, the Rare Beauty Mental Health Council was born. From that, we knew we had to then develop these resources to talk about the services that directly impact young people in their lives. And so it was this real-time focus group, but not just sort of grilling them and not blankly, you know, sending a survey. It was really like, we got to know them. We know Sierra, we know Tuscany, we know Xavier, we know Sydney. And that was cool. So that was in 2020. And then it just culminated recently. We had our Rare Beauty Mental Health Council on May 2nd to kick off Mental Health Month. And I have to say, it was so incredible. We say that we want to ignite positive conversations around self-worth and self-acceptance. And my God, we did it. And I think what I've been saying recently is like, you know, you do so many PowerPoints and you say you're going to do this and the PowerPoint words and they land on the website and they're on your about section and they're in talking points. And then I was standing at this Rare Beauty Mental Health Summit and I said, we did it. Like I've seen it in the comments and I've experienced it and I've been to the, we do hikes with our community and we've gotten to know the community and I chat when we chat in DMs, but then seeing everyone together, we had like 150 attendees, feeling the energy, meeting these people firsthand who, with whom I've, you know, we've DM'd and we've chatted and we've seen in the comments and then connecting them with people who are starting these conversations around mental health, people that looked like them, people who had similar experiences that they could learn from. It was powerful. And that was like, God, how do we bottle this? How do we keep doing it? That's an example of how we're living our values or how we'll continue to do that and how we continue to make an impact in people's lives. It's just making those connections, whether you're making connections with one another so that they feel like they belong, whether you're making connections to trusted resources, to people who could then help make them say, it's okay to not feel okay. Or I have felt like you, just so you see someone, to see, hear, and value someone. So if we as a brand can continue to do that, that feels like a really powerful, worthwhile space. Not only did I love seeing the community, but I loved seeing our team that was there. And I think the fact that the employees got to see it, like, now I'm always thinking, okay, do we recreate the same thing for our employees? How do we do this? And it's just, it's exciting and it's fun and it's rewarding. And it's certainly something that I haven't experienced before in my career.
That just sounds so inspiring. Oh my goodness. Wow. Wow. I mean, it's unbelievable, honestly. Like, you're really, as a brand, you're understanding your consumer, but you're really adding value to their lives in so many ways. That's what I took away from that, where it's, you know, we're adding value to their lives from the great products that we provide them, but also we're helping create and provide a sense of community for people who, because of COVID and because of a variety of other factors, it's a generation, broadly speaking, who's really lacking that. I absolutely love this. And this dovetails well with a few data points that we have of Gen Z loves to unify around social causes. 70% of them unify around a social cause. Health is the number one cause they unite around. And obviously mental health is one of the top elements of health, broadly speaking. Gen Z on the whole as well
the characteristic of self-relevance is a lot lower for them than other generations. We call them the we versus me. This is a generation who they're much more concerned about broader social issues than they are necessarily about themselves in many ways. So as a brand, everything that you've done has been so authentic and so true to who you are. It also aligns so well with their values and who they are of, okay, let's create these communities around a common cause. Like there is literally nothing that speaks better to this generation than doing that. And not only let's create these communities, but let's also live by our words and let's treat our employees at an unbelievably high standard. Let's provide them with resources. Let's donate to mental health funds, broadly speaking. I am just so impressed across the board with all of the actions you and your company have taken. It's really unbelievable. And I just want to ask if you have any thoughts around what might be next for Rare Beauty, what you all are thinking about, how you want to continue to amplify your really powerful impact.
One thing I think is interesting is that it all gets back to Selena and why she wanted to start this brand. And even the word rare itself, she always says you are rare and you are meant to be who you are. And that is beautiful. We continue to think about that. We continue to live by those values. My theme for next year is the year of self-acceptance. So everything will fall under that umbrella because you are rare.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Katie, thank you so much for sharing your insights and expertise. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to The Trustmakers.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.